Hi, my name is Brenda Brim Kruko, and I am filling in for Billy Brim. I'm her third child, and she is in San Antonio this week. So I am blessed with my brother Terry this week to share with you. And the title of what I'm going to be talking about this week is The End Time Move of God, Ears to Hear, and the Awakening. Praise the Lord. We just got done with prayer, and the Holy Spirit really, he took up. And in prayer, when Mom's gone, and I try, that's not the right word, but the Lord has been, I've been growing in this role, and he's been showing me to make up, to make a very good platform for the Holy Spirit. And so with that is teaching on the Word, and of course, and then hearing his voice, how he's been talking, how important it is in this end time hour that we live in to hear him. So along those lines, I'm talking about the hearing heart, the hearing ear. Mother did a Glory Watch several years ago, and she talked about the ear that you hear the Lord with is in the center of your heart. And we all know, or most of us know, but if you don't, the heart in the Bible is the spirit of man, and we have been born again. We are new creatures in Christ, and we have our spirit has ears, has eyes, looks just like us, except no deficiencies. And it's very important that those ears hear. So Mother wrote about how she heard a woman named Clara Grace, and I'm just going to read from her writings what she wrote. And this is Mother, The Silent Years of Jesus' Earth Walk. Billy Brim. I was reminded of Jesus and what Clara Grace was shown about how God the Father taught the Son during his earth walk. Sister Grace, a respected minister of the gospel, was a prophetess. The first time I heard her was April 24, 1967, at Brother Kenneth E. Hagin Seminar, just 2 days after I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She was about 75, and the first woman preacher I had ever heard. My denomination purported that women could not preach. Yet I sensed God's presence as she spoke. Sister Grace was a mentor of Jeannie Wilkerson. Sister Wilkerson told me that Clara Grace had more experience, quote, beyond the veil, than anyone she knew. In 1969, Sister Grace sat down with two young ministers and shared with them some of those experiences. Many years later, a cassette tape of those precious things she told them came into my hands. And by the way, my mom does not have that anymore. But we do have the, I have this article that I am reading, and we are going to send it to our WWPs. And if you want to be a WWP, you can email the office here at billybrim.org, and you can ask to be on the list, and we will send you this article. I think about another couple weeks. I'm not exactly sure, but we will be sending it to you because we're going to send it to all of them for Valentine's Day. So in 1969, Sister Grace sat down and she said of her visions, quote, "The Lord takes me into the realm of the Spirit. When that happens, I don't know one thing that's around me, but I'm very conscious of my entity and what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing." In the vision that came to my remembrance, Sister Grace was in the carpenter shop watching Jesus complete the last table he made before entering his ministry. He took no shortcuts. She saw him finish and polish the table well. He cleaned his tools and put them neatly away. Then he turned to her and stretched out his arms. She knew to step into him, put her arms where his arms were, and her legs where his legs were. She said, quote, "At once I was as big as the universe and as small as the tiniest particle in it." End of quote. Knowledge came to her where the Bible is seemingly silent. The 18 years between Jesus going up to Jerusalem at age 12 and the start of his ministry at age 30. It was revealed to her how God the Father taught his Son. She saw that Jesus had to have revelation of the Word of God and his place in it. Quote, for the one who had walked up and down through eternity had laid aside his glory and became as we are. The following passages especially demonstrate the Father's teaching and the Son's learning. The emphasis and comments are mine, and these were the scriptures that the Lord gave her. Psalms 119, verse 97 through 102. Remembering he was meditating on the scriptures, the Lord, Father God, was giving him the scriptures of who he was. This is Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. And in brackets, mom says, God taught him. God made him wiser. Into brackets, for they are ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. In brackets, notice the place of meditation of God's word. Selah, I say. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Brackets. Verses 99 and 100 calls to mind his sitting down at the midst of the doctors at age 12, astonishing them with his understanding and answers. Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. In brackets, only the Messiah, not David, kept his feet from every evil way. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. The next passage that the Lord gave her was Isaiah 50, and it talks about how the Father opened his Son's ear to hear, and how the Son kept his ear open to the Father. Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, the taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Verse 5. The Lord God has opened up, and the Hebrew word is P-A-T-H-A-C-H, which means opened wide, plowed, carved out my ear, and I was not rebellious. Neither turned away. In the vision, Jesus told Clara Grace, quote, I never laid my head down to rest without meditating the scriptures and who I was in them. This we see in Psalm 119, as quoted above, he meditated the word and who he was in it, the morning by morning. The Father wakeneth him, opening his ear wide to be taught. Imagine every morning the voice of the Father awakening his Son, teaching him of the Father's plan and his place in it. And then imagine yourself, the Father awakening you morning and morning, meditating on who you are in Christ. The Son kept his ear open through obedience. Quote, I was not rebellious, neither turned away my back. He accepted who he was and what he was required of him. It talks in Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5, the scriptures we just read, and then 6 and 7 confirms that these were for sure talking about, in case you doubted, about Jesus. And I'm going to read 6 again. I gave my back to this, verse 6, Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. That's faith. Praise God. Billy, my heart is deeply moved when I consider, yet surely one can scarcely imagine how it must have been when Jesus first, during his earth walk, walked these scriptures prophesied of him, that he was the one of whom they spoke, that he must give his back to the smiters, his cheeks to him that plucked off his beard, and his face to shame and spitting. Yet God would help him. Therefore, he set his face like a flint, knowing that he would not be ashamed. The Lord has been talking to me about prayer and hearing him and how important it is to hear him. And as preparing for prayer today, I thought I had all what I needed. And so I just grabbed a book, Numbers and Scriptures, thinking I was complete on everything I needed. And I opened up to a chapter on the physical ear. And this book, we do not carry it, but it's called Numbers and Scriptures, and it's by E.W. Bullinger. But let me just read what he says about the physical ear. He said, even the organs of corti, C-O-R-T-I, are limited in their perception, notwithstanding the many thousands of minute vibrating cords. The organ of corti is inside of your ear and the inner ear, and they contain sensory cells. They're highly specialized and they respond to vibrations. They contain 15,000 to 20,000 auditory nerve receptors. Each nerve receptor has its own cells. And most common hearing loss is from these organs of corti. When these organs are perfect or well formed, that is what one calls, quote, an ear for music. But in many cases, there is no ear for music. This means that these organs are defective, not fully developed or malformed in the case of such persons. The sounds are not accurately conveyed to the brain. There is a solemn and important truth, therefore, in the words, quote, he that planteth the ear, Psalm 94, verse 9. What wondrous planting! Not everyone has a musical ear, and no one by nature has a musical ear, but the spiritual ear is a direct gift and planting of the ear of God. And of course, we're spirits and we have these ears. Hence it is written, he that hath an ear, only he that is divinely planted, God-given ear, can hear the things of the Spirit of God. An ear to hear these spiritual things is far greater quality and reality and a greater gift than having an ear for music. Oh, how wondrous he wakeneth us to hear morning by morning. I just encourage you to train your ear and to train our ears as people of prayer, that we hear what the Lord is saying to us in this end time move. It is vital. I thank you, and we'll pick up tomorrow. Bless you. Shalom, shalom.